Welcome to Cosmos and Commerce, Sip, Save, or Succeed. I'm thrilled to have you join us for an exciting episode that's about to unfold. Today, we're diving into the world of creativity, business success, and the art of making work feel like play. I'm your host, Janice Francis, with the Humble Crate Artisan Marketplace, and I'm here with my co-host,
Michelle Cook with Body Ache Escape Massage Center.
And with us is a true dynamo in the business world, someone who knows how to turn promotional products into magic wands that bring brands to life. She's not only the driving force behind Z Promotions, but also a champion of local businesses as the newly inaugurated president of NABO Columbus. Get ready to uncover the secrets of balancing business brilliance with a dash of fun as we chat with the remarkable Zulene. From helping companies get noticed to infusing life into business networking, she's a pro at it all. So without further ado, let's embark on a journey filled with wisdom, laughter, and a touch of entrepreneurial magic. Welcome to the podcast, Zulene.
Zulene, welcome to Cosmos and Commerce. Could you share a bit about your background and what inspired you to start Z Promotion?
Oh, absolutely. So thank you so much to you both for having me on. I'm looking forward to this. A little background. Over 17 years ago, because we started Z Promotion 17 years ago, I worked for another business in the industry, and they were actually the largest at the time in the Midwest in terms of doing promotional products. So I stumbled into that business, but I found that this was something I definitely love. The marketing space is so creative and innovative, and every day was so different. However, at that time, towards the tail end of me being there, we had an investor come in, and this investor came from the logistics industry. So having nothing to do with marketing, right? And I saw the writing on the wall and saw that there were some changes happening in terms of company culture. And I got together with a couple of the salespeople there. And if you do it right, you make sure and take the top salespeople, which I did. And got together with Andrew Gearing, my business partner. And at that time, we also had a third partner. Her name was Renee. She was out in Oregon. She's no longer a partner just because she's out in Oregon. But that's why we decided to start Z Promotions, is because we knew we could really tailor the culture the way that it would speak to us in terms of making sure it aligned with our values, who we are, what we're about, and what it is that we wanted to do in terms of making an impact. Yeah, that's how Z Promotions came about 17 years ago. And it's been fun ever since.
Awesome. Let's back up a little bit. Tell us about Z Promotions and what you actually do.
Sure. So I can even give you my little spiel. I always tell everyone I'm the CEO of Z Promotions. We are a promotional products company. It's also known as Ad Specialty. Some people know it as that. We've been in business 17 years, and yes, we are located in the Columbus, Ohio area, but we definitely have an international footprint because we work with clients all over the world, from South Korea, Germany, Brazil, Canada, Mexico, and collectively, you don't just get me. So if I am your representative at Z Promotions, you actually get the benefit of the 150 plus years of experience from my entire team. We get together weekly. We do brainstorming sessions for our clients. And what we like to do is that basically ask everyone, how would you like your business to get noticed and become memorable? Because that's our purpose at Z Promotions. So we're not the order takers. We don't sell you tchotchkes and trinkets. We actually get to know our clients. We want to understand your mission, your vision, your values, and your objectives. And then we take that information, because that's the goal right there, and we make the recommendations to the right marketing pieces and how to use them, because that's the most important part, because we want to make sure you receive a return on that investment. And ultimately, that makes us an extension of your marketing team. And if you don't have one, that ends up us being your marketing team. Yeah, a little bit about Z Promotions right there in a nutshell.
Awesome. Starting a business can be quite challenging. What are some of the initial hurdles you faced, and how did you overcome them?
I think some of the things that are quite relatable for most new entrepreneurs, I know that many of us, when it comes to access to capital, that was a huge hurdle, just because I really dug into my 401k to start Z Promotions. At the time, I was going through a lot of personal changes and personally, and I just had to do what I had to do. I was a single mom at that point, and you just dig in and you hope for the best, plan for the worst. And I was all in. I put in all the money that I had. Andrew did his investment. He was much younger at that point, 15 years, both of us. And with a little prayer and a lot of hard work, rolling up our sleeves, that was a challenge in itself. And we're here 17 years later, right? We all know that most businesses typically fail within the first couple of years. So we have been blessed. And we've had other hurdles as well. But in order to overcome them, we did something that was pretty brave for a young company. So early on, we did have a CPA. We did have a business attorney. We had things put in place, a financial advisor. So they were able to really help us get over a lot of the hurdles that a lot of other companies struggle through. And then, of course, we started our business in 2006. So 2 years later was the housing crisis. Everybody talks about the pandemic because that's what's most recently has happened in terms of a challenge. But we had the housing crisis and we were only 2 years old. And boy, that was a mess. And we had to do a little bit of restructuring. And we did some similar things that we did with the pandemic. We took those lessons and actually applied them during the pandemic, but just really looked at it and said, what are the essentials right now? What do we need to focus on? Because no one is going to focus on sales and marketing. When there's a downturn in the economy, the first things they cut are sales and marketing, which then that is when the light bulb went on. And we said, we have to educate our clients. That is when you do want to market your business, because you're going to come out of this eventually. When you come out of it, do you want to be the one that people instantly go to because you may made sure that you were memorable, right, throughout that time? Or do you want them to go to your competitor? So that's something that we have installed throughout the last 15 years in terms of helping our clients, is to educate them on proper marketing, especially through challenging times.
Yeah, that's a great point. Great point. And I love your advice on getting a lawyer and an accountant and all that set up to help you structure your business right from the get-go.
Yeah.
I know you have a business partner, as do I, and that can come with another layer of benefits and challenges. What has working with a partner in business been like for you? Do you have any advice for me or anyone else who has a partner?
Well, I will say I'm a great, so the way I learn is by observing. So I don't have to go through the struggles. I can learn through someone else's struggles. So coming from the previous business that Andrew and I did, there were partners there. And I observed that they structured it well, where one really focused in on the revenue, right? Bringing in revenue. The other really did a lot in terms of the administrative and financials, right? Which that makes sense. If that's where your strengths are, that's great that you're splitting it that way. The issue was one person was really giving it 150%. The other person was unfortunately not even giving 100%, right? That imbalance was also felt throughout the company. And that's one thing that I wanted to make sure that we started out first as colleagues, which we did, because that particular partnership, they started out as friends first and then went into a business. And I said, no, because then we won't have any emotional times or anything like that in terms of a foundation. So we're just coming in together, looking at it as two business people. And we've developed a friendship over time. And the thing is, Andrew actually balances me and I balance him. So I challenge him. So I'm more the visionary and I'm like the go, go, we need to do this and that. He is definitely more of the analytical one, a little bit more reserved. So he keeps me tempered. Not saying that I don't have the ability to do and execute some of the plans that, you know, and schemes that I come up with, but he definitely tempers me a bit so that we can really build a strong strategic plan. And it's about coming together. So he and I, we look at our plan quarterly, but we build it every year, looking at the previous year, looking at our SWOT analysis, just figuring out where it is that we want to go. You know, I tend to lead on the vision, but then he's the one who's saying, okay, then if we truly want to get there, then here are the markers that we need to hit. So we work well together. So I would say partners should all bring in different strengths that will complement each other. And if you can, hopefully come in as colleagues, somebody you're familiar with, but not necessarily on a familial, because I know sometimes family dynamics can come into play, or even a friendship basis. So I think that's why we've been really successful.
Yeah, it sounds your partnership with Andrew is almost exactly the same as my partnership with Kyrd.
I adore Kyrd. I always say
that I'm the gas and he's the brakes.
Yeah, there you go. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. Okay. So Z Promotions focuses on helping companies get noticed. Can you share a memorable success story of how your promotional products made a significant impact on a client or for a client?
Again, this is why we're a bit different from other companies in our industry. So if you go onto our website and place an order, which we welcome, you'll always get a call though, and you'll get a call from a rep that's going to ask you key questions. They're going to ask you, what's your budget? Who are you targeting? What is it that you're trying to get from this? Is this for an event? Is there a theme? And then, do you mind if we make some recommendations, additional recommendations, and then let you know how to use them, right? So in this case, for this one particular story I want to share, so this was several years back, even predating COVID. However, we worked with a landscaping company. And I think we all know, if you're familiar with landscaping companies, they're just notorious for high turnover, right? So that was an issue that they brought to us. Most people wouldn't think, oh, go to a promotional products company to help actually solve an issue, right? They're just there to give us imprinted products, right? We challenged them and said, would you mind if we perhaps did like a focus group or a questionnaire survey to your team? And they said, sure. And I said, we're definitely going to keep all of these surveys anonymous because we want them to be in a safe space to be able to express everything fully. So we got the survey results back and we came back to the client and gave them some recommendations to what they could do for what they could do in terms of promotional products. And in this case, I had recommended that they have lunch boxes done. So really cute little vinyl lunch boxes. They were under 10 bucks, but I said at least 2 days out of the week, what I would recommend is that you put together lunches in here, right? So you as the owners of the company, it'd be even nicer if you guys did it, put a sandwich, you know, a fruit drink and some other little sweet treat or snack in there and then distribute them in the morning. And they were like, okay. And they were wondering why I was coming up with this concept. I said, because what we've realized is the turnover is coming from the fact that many of your workers, okay, do not own their own transportation. In this, what's happening is they're all collectively meeting at one determined spot. And usually your lead supervisor is the driver of that vehicle and taking them around to jobs. The issue is, most of the time, the supervisor and the leads are wanting to go out to eat, pick something up. They unfortunately financially can't afford to pick things up at local restaurants and things like that. They would like to bring food from home, but they don't have coolers and things like that to keep everything fresh. So that is part of why, you know, you have some of the turnover. So why don't we just go ahead and pack them a couple lunches every week, which would be really inexpensive because we're not saying to make anything gourmet, sandwich, chips, drink, and send it along that way. And don't their turnover actually reduced that year, that season? I did follow up with them every year after that. But that season, because normally in terms of retention, they were looking at about 38%, which is crazy to me because I thought those numbers were just unbelievable. But that particular season that year, their retention was at 76%. It was wild.
I love that. That is amazing. What a great recommendation.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so being a part of NABO, which stands for National Association of Women Business Owners, and now you're serving as its president in Columbus, is quite an achievement. How has being a part of such organizations contributed to your business's growth and your personal development?
I want to start on the personal development first. This is huge because NABO has a plethora of women of who I want to be when I grow up. That's what I say, because there's such an abundance of mentors for me. So many other women, they have no idea they've been my mentors, right? A lot of it just comes from observation and building relationships with them. But it is amazing. You have women who are in the startup stages, women who are 5 years into their company, and then other women who are running multi-million dollar businesses and have hundreds of employees. All of these ladies, I've been able to pick their brains and really learn from their personal experiences and apply things to my business. In terms of personal development, absolutely, it's helped me to open up, because both of you ladies know me. I'm not a vulnerable person. That's not typically who I am. But I've learned through them that you need to be vulnerable, right? And be able to share what's going on and what's happening with your personal experiences in order to make change. So I started to learn that, and I started to open up, and that's definitely helped us in terms of impacting our own business. Business growth, for me, yes, I happen to be the president of Novo Columbus, but really the reason I looked at leadership is because of the work that they were doing. I understood how they were impacting women business owners and even women of color, because they did something brave that a lot of organizations haven't done. Or if they have started something, Novo has sustained it in terms of having a DE&IB committee, right? Strong committee who has made a lot of changes. And then they believe in collaboration and bringing in other diverse organizations, making an impact that way by coalition building. So my strategy in terms of being a part of other organizations is not looking at direct revenue generation, because I know a lot of people think, okay, I need to join the chamber because I want to grow my business. Yeah, of course, that's a component of it, but you need to be a little realistic and understand you're not going in and getting contracts right away. You need to look at it in terms of what can I contribute? Start building relationships, right? Mm-hmm. Allowing people to get to know you and your business, and that will help organically grow your business, because many of the folks in Novo and the other organizations, the Pickerington Chamber of Commerce, also, they've all helped to build Z Promotion. So it wasn't just on our backs and our team members' backs alone. So it was definitely through the support of the organizations.
Building relationships is such a key part of all that too. I've talked to people who quit, say, the chamber after 1 year and said, I didn't get anything out of it. And I'm like, you got to develop relationships. You aren't just going to
magically get.
Yeah. It's not.
Yeah, anyway. And a lot of people, they shy away from networking, or they don't know how to network. And the best way to really get in, you don't have to be in leadership, okay? So we're talking about me being president of Novo, but take that to the side. My entire team, they're a part of different organizations as well, but I make sure they stay highly engaged. They are required to be committed by joining a committee, right? That's an easy entree and an easy way to talk to people and build relationships, because once you build those relationships, those folks end up being your advocates. Because it's not like I'm going out seeking the business, as I said. Many times it's coming through as a referral, because they'll say, oh, Janice said that you do promotional products and you do such a great job. I would love to learn a little bit more. Or even for Michelle, I refer business over to her even. And I said, you know what? We have someone fantastic right here in Pickerington. You definitely want to go see Body Ache Escape. You want to make sure and build advocates. So you're absolutely right, Janice.
Yeah.
Yes. What key lessons have you learned along your entrepreneurial journey that you believe other business owners could benefit from?
I think we touched on some of them, is looking at many of the things that as new entrepreneurs, we look at as expenses as an actual investment. So you do have to get those professionals in. And am I able to do a tax return? Yes. But should I really be doing that? No, not my business tax return. You know, get yourself a CPA. Should I be working on the books? In the beginning, probably, because you can work in concert with a CPA, because that's what I did. But as you're growing, probably not, especially if you're the head of the business. So what I'm for that, you know, you have a team of experts who can help execute those parts of the business that you really shouldn't be focusing on, right? You as the CEO, president, founder, owner, whatever your title is, should be focused on growing your business, creating strategy, and executing anything that comes from your strategic planning. So that's where you should be focusing, but you shouldn't really be thinking about, oh, I need to sit there and print out these checks, or I need to sit here and mail these things out. Or so definitely get those folks. And not that I don't do some of those things from time to time. Yes, I do. But I've also gotten a lot of support through our local school system. Working with the Pickerington schools this year, we had our first intern. Finding that support anywhere you can, that way you can focus on the things that are most important.
Yeah, that's great advice. How has becoming a woman and minority-owned business contributed to your growth?
So I can say that there has been success. Thank you to mom and dad, because the reason I'm a minority and a woman is because of them. But I've taken advantages where there are options out there available for me. So one of them being WeBank, Women's Business Enterprise National Council, which they actually certify women business owners. And then NMSDC, being the National Minority Supplier Development Council, they certify minority businesses. And I'm not LGBTQ, but I was fortunate enough to be able to represent our Diversity Chamber Central Ohio last week in Denver, Colorado for the NGLCC International Conference, which was wonderful. And they actually certify LGBTQ businesses, right? So if you're in any of these categories, and even veteran-owned businesses, so there's the VSOBs, look at that. If you're eligible in any of those, I would highly recommend looking into getting certified and then leveraging that certification in the right way. That doesn't mean it's guaranteeing you a contract, but you know what it does give you? It gives you an opportunity to get your foot in the door. So make sure you have all your ducks in the row, understand who your business is, so you can tell your story and be prepared to do business with the larger corporations or government entities. But they give you that entree to them, so that access to those decision makers. And I say take advantage of it if you can. Yep.
Yeah, you're like my mentor when it comes to that. You're one of the reasons that I became a women-owned business. Thank you.
Oh, and I'm so going to start working on that myself.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I can help you.
I ordered some stuff, and at the bottom of the box, there was a magnet that said woman-owned business in the bottom of it. And I've got it on the fridge back there. So yeah. I was like, I need to see about that. I need to see about that.
And there are many businesses out there that can really take advantage of certification. A lot of times they think, oh, my business, oh, there's no way I can get anything from the government or from any corporates. And you'd be amazed to know the opportunities that are out there and what the government buys, and even corporations, because Michelle being in the space that she's in, but I had a girlfriend several years back who owned a spa, and she says, what do I need to get certified for? I was like, let me tell you, I actually have a client, a multi-billion dollar client, and they were based out in Dublin. I won't name who they are, but if I start describing it, you guys will understand. Their campus had different divisions, and they had actually underground tunnels that connected their buildings. So hopefully you guys will put two and two together to figure out who they were. Yeah. But anyway, they would offer their employees all kinds of amenities. And one of them was they had actually like a little mini salon down there built in the tunnels. There were little rooms. So one was for a stylist, one was for a massage therapist, and they would offer these services to their employees. And I'm like, there's a contract, right? So this is a way to increase your own revenue, and you had no idea, did you? And I had no idea there were opportunities like that, that were outside of my salon wall. So yeah, a lot of opportunities out there.
Well, that's awesome. Diving into strategy, what advice would you give a business aiming to create a cohesive promotional product strategy that not only grabs attention, but also strengthens their brand image over the long term?
So you have to know who you are and what you're about. That's why company culture also comes into play. You have to know who your target market is. So these are the things that I'm going to ask you questions on. Now, the typical promotional products rep is not going to ask you these questions, but I'm going to ask you these questions because I want to understand who it is that you are, what your product does, who it serves, what type of solution it provides, and who it is that ideally you want to sit there and have as your customer, right? So I need that information. So you need to be prepared with that's when I take it to my team, and then we come back with great recommendations and let you know how to use it, right, to make an impact. But what I always like to do, though, the best promotional products are going to be something that is practical, something that people are going to use time and again. So a lot of people always ask me, what's the trend right now? What's really hot and new? I was like, do you want to know what's hot and new, or do you want to know what's going to work for you? So I can tell you what's hot and new. It may not work out for who it is that you're targeting. I love items that are going to be around. I love kitchen gadgets, things like that, because they leave subliminal messages, because people are using time and again, and they may not need your products and services every day. They most certainly don't need my products and services every day. However, when they need a promotional product, I want to make sure that they're coming to Z Promotion. So let's put that subliminal messaging by having your imprint on a really cool product that they're going to use over and over again. That way they come back to you when they need you. So that's the best way to look at using a promotional product. Now, we can do all kinds of things in terms of custom items, and we can do custom designs and things like that. So absolutely, we can do that. And working with your marketing group, we can do that, your department, and really go sky's the limit in terms of the strategies. But just to boil it down, like I said, make sure and get those practical items.
Yeah. Assessing the effectiveness of promotional campaigns is crucial. What key performance indicators do you prioritize when determining the success of a promotional product campaign?
Okay, so it depends on the situation too. So let's go ahead and take it to maybe a trade show or conference. So I'll give you some different situations here. So in a trade show or conference, what you're wanting to do is to see the numbers that you're creating after that conference. So we all know the key is in the follow-up, but it's doing it properly. Many times what I like to do, especially when you're talking about a conference, and I'm giving you some of my trade secrets here.
we're lucky.
But we always talk about there's a before the conference, the during the conference, and the after the conference. Before the conference, you want to make sure and do that research on the company that you're prospecting or companies, group them into industries, right? Reach out to them and let them know you're going to be there. Give them a call to action. So a lot of times what we'll do is we'll help in terms of making mailers to send out to the individuals that are attending any type of trade show and conference. Reach out to them. Encourage them to come to your booth. You can do this in several different ways. You can sit there and tell them, oh, if you come with the mailer that I gave you, you know, we'll give you an item in return, or perhaps give them half of something so they have to get the other half of it at the booth. So encouraging them to come to your booth. Once they're at the booth, though, you have to have a plan. Okay, so it's not about just handing over the items and saying, okay, thanks for stopping by. Goodbye. So in here, as you can tell, we're building up a different data points. So you can sit there and talk about, okay, we sent the X amount of mailers out. We had X amount of people come to our booth as a result, right? So this is now starting to build some of those data points that you want. And then when you're at the booth, you have to be able to capture their attention. So we've devised different ways, and you both have experienced the Z Promotions booth from time to time. And we have ways that usually capture people's attention when we're talking about sight, about how our booth looks and how welcoming it is. Also by smell. So we have things that we do to attract people. We have things in terms of taste and touch, because we give them samples and products. So we give them an experience. So it's important to have an experience at the booth, which makes you memorable, which is going to then set you apart, right? Now we're going to talk about after the show. So how many of those people that you engage with during that show, conference, trade show, whatever it may be, now are continuing communication with you afterwards? Because that's the most important part, because that's what's going to determine if you're really going to build a long-lasting relationship and hopefully get some revenue from it. So that's also where you can sit there and build in some KPIs, but you have to have a really structured way of following up with them. We have something we call the Z Promotions way, and we determine at different points what type of communication we're going to send out and things like that. And that's what I would say that folks out there need to do. So you need to make sure and have something that's basically cookie cutter that anyone coming into your business is able to replicate. That's the most important thing. You should have a system or a process that's easy for someone to replicate. And that way you can let them go and do what you do. And then, of course, that's when it's going to double and triple and quadruple, and your business is going to grow quite rapidly in that way. So different ways you can get those numbers, those KPIs. If you want to know some more specifics, feel free to call me. That's when we really get down to the nitty gritty with our clients and really dive deep.
It sounds like a classic funnel where you're like starting with the big number, you get them to the booth, you get the lead, you contact the lead, you make a be a client.
But you have to do everything. That's the key.
Yeah, you can't skip any steps.
Yeah, you have to follow through, following through. So we've touched on this maybe a little bit. You're involved in various local groups, including NABO and the chambers and all that. How has networking and community involvement played a role in the growth of Z Promotions?
So this has been huge for us. So again, it goes back to our company culture. And one thing that we do during our weekly meetings, we always recite the following things. So our purpose, which is to get you noticed and make you memorable through creative product branding. Everyone knows our values, which is be kind, be transparent, have fun, listen, learn, and be involved. Everyone who works for Z Promotions know these things. Also our promises and our vision, our diversity mission, and a brand statement. We go through all of these and every single person on the Z Promotions team can recite this for you. So in our vision in particular, so there are actually three pillars in this. So we focus internally with our team. And then we focus, of course, externally with our clients. And then we also focus externally when it comes to being involved with our community. So those are the three things that are really important to us. For us, we want to make sure that we focus on the happiness of our team because we want to obtain and retain the best talent, right? And then we also want to make sure that we're focusing on the client's marketing objectives because we want to make sure and execute all of their plans. And then we want to focus on the business involvement because we want to make a positive impact, not locally, but globally as well, right? So making a positive impact. So with all of those things, that's how we operate. So internally, we use that for our hiring practices. So anyone that we're interviewing, going through the training and onboarding process, we're always reiterating all of these points because we want to make sure that it's successful for not only us at Z Promotions, but it needs to be that it's fulfilling and successful for them to be here. And then it translates out into our clients. And then it translates out into the community. So that's the reason why we're part of a lot of organizations, right? We want to go out, roll out, make sure that we're making that positive impact. And it's not that we're leading with, okay, it's all about generating revenue because it all comes back organically to us. It's about what kind of impact can we make. And generally, what happens is because of those relationships that we've made, everyone becomes an advocate for us. And our business has been built a lot on referrals. We receive a lot of referrals in that way.
Yeah. Yeah. When you had the booth at the Business Summit last year, your team was really engaging and I enjoyed speaking with them.
I'm so glad. I always say I have the best people. I don't care what anyone says. I do have the best people. I love them all.
I love it. I love it. And congratulations again on becoming the president of NABO, National Association of Women Business Owners. How do you envision leveraging your role to further support local businesses and entrepreneurs?
So I touched on this before in terms of collaboration. That's really important to me. I do believe that we can't look at NABO just working singularly as a silo with just our organization, that in order to make the greatest impact for all small business owners, we need to come together. And that's why I reach out and I work with the Hispanic Chamber of Central Ohio, Central Ohio African American Chamber of Commerce. I'm the vice president of the Asian American Commerce Group. I told you I sit on the board of the Diversity Chamber of Central Ohio. We also work with WELD, OWC, you know, the Matriots. There are so many other groups that we work with. And the reason is because we all have similar goals and objectives. Why do it by yourself? When we come together collectively, we make a stronger impact. And I think we really saw that when we had the Out with Elected Officials event through NABO and the Diversity Chamber last October. Typically, we may see 50, maybe 75 is really good for an event like that. We were bursting at the seams when it came to that event because we were sold out and there were people who came that didn't pre-register. Why? Because the elected officials saw the value. When they saw all of these groups coming together, they said, oh, typically if they would tell us no, oh, we can't make it, we may have a conflict. It was really funny to see how quickly they were to respond to our invitation and say yes, that they would be able to participate. And also vice versa for all of the members from all of these organizations to show up, right? And be there. So they see that they are able to really listen to and understand the influential powers of all of these groups, right? And like I said, we typically do have a lot of similar challenges. So why is it that we all have to sit there and do things on our own? Doesn't make sense. Don't work in silos. Work together collaboratively. Yep.
I agree with Love that. It. You've got to be the busiest woman in business.
I know.
You don't want to see my calendar. I tell everyone I live only day by day. I can't even look ahead to next week because I just even can't keep up with it sometimes.
I can't imagine how many chamber chickens you eat in a week.
Yeah. Yeah, that gets a little rough. Yeah.
All right. How many people do you have on your team at Z Promotions?
So currently we have 7 official W-2s, but then we of course work with a few contractors as well. And then we're not just located in Central Ohio. We do actually have W-2 workers who work in other parts of the country because luckily we were able to figure out the remote working a lot earlier than most folks. And so it allowed the people that we have not in Ohio to be able to set up shop and work from there. Yeah. And growing. So if anybody was looking for a sales position.
Okay. So this is an interesting spin on this question. I would love to know how you make it happen with remote workers as well. How do you foster a collaborative and supportive environment within your company, especially with having people working in another state?
Right. It's challenging. And that's actually one of the big things that has been asked of us by our clients as well. So we have worked with them in terms of employee retention programs and engagement programs with them. It's basically sharing some of the secret sauce of what we use. Again, like I said, we have our weekly team meetings, right? You have to check in weekly. Anybody who's a lead of a department or anything like that, I do have expectations that they're checking in with their people at least 2 or 3 times a week. And then we have our monthly sales luncheon. So that, of course, only works for the people here locally. But for the people who are out of town, we still include them in a lot of things. I'll give you an example. So we, at the monthly sales luncheon, we usually award whoever is the highest revenue generator that previous month. We give them a crown. So they get a crown and they get a gift card and they get the whole shebang with the big celebration and all that. Just because someone may not be here, but maybe they were the one who was the highest revenue generator for the previous month. I send them the whole package. They get to feel that experience. And guess what? We all go online together and we go, woohoo, congratulations. So it's like you want to make sure that they need to be incorporated into these things. There are times that welcome. Other things that we do are we do an annual event for our clients and our team members and their families. So we make sure to invite everyone. So even though that person, that sales rep may not be there, we're inviting their clients, their family members. And then guess what? Anything that we've done for that event, because of course we're a promotional products company, we make sure and send a kit to that employee because we want to make sure that they feel completely involved, even though they're not there, but completely involved and engaged to have a little mini experience. Kitting is very big here and something that we promote for our clients as well. It's great if you're having like webinars or sessions online, if you need to send some materials for them so that they can feel engaged while they're doing the webinar. That's always been really successful. So recognizing them for special milestones and markers, birthdays, anniversaries, their children's graduation, we do that. So it's not just the kid's birth, their graduation. So making sure that you recognize them for their personal milestones as well. So yeah, lots of fun stuff here.
That's awesome.
Sounds fun.
Makes me want to work for you.
Yeah. Bring your massage chair.
Now we're going to dive into incorporating fun and life-work balance. I like to say life-work to put life in the head of work instead of most people say work-life balance. So I'm going to say
I like that, yeah.
Yeah, so balancing your personal life and work can be a challenge for many business owners. How do you manage to incorporate fun into your life while running a successful business?
I'm so terrible at my personal life, I will be honest. So for me, I will tell you that I don't believe in a balance, a life-work balance, because there's no such thing, right? There has to be give and take. So there's going to be times that you give more to life. There's going to be more times you give more to work. You just have to understand that, right? But it's making sure that you have the right support system. So making sure your family understands, right? And they're rooting for you and they understand that. And vice versa, also work as well. One of the things that is very important to us here at Z Promotions, and I always tell them, this is the one instance in terms of our company culture. Do as I say, don't do as I do, because like I said, I am awful at it when it comes to me personally. However, we always want to make sure that our team members, when they're on vacation, they truly are on vacation. I said, I'm watching your dashboard. You are not allowed to be on there. Do not answer any emails, because I want them to focus on what's most important to them, which is their families. And I want to make sure that we have built internally. So that was the most important part, that we have systems, processes, and strong support in terms of other team members, that it gives that person the relief and the release to be able to just go on vacation and not have to worry about anything. And for me, actually, that's the same thing as well. It's just, I'm a creature of habit. I'm going to check my emails. I know that. But guess what? Last week when I was at that conference in Denver, I didn't want to do one stitch of work. I didn't answer one email. I didn't even check in with my team. I didn't even call them, because our systems are set up so well that I didn't even have to check in with them. So I was working at the conference, but them doing what they're supposed to do allowed me to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Wasn't it a work conference? Team.
Yeah. You've built such a strong team that you know that things are going to be taken care of if you are away for a while.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you share an example of a time when infusing a sense of fun into your business activities led to an unexpected positive outcome?
You know what? I'm not sure about an unexpected positive outcome, but I do believe in infusing fun, because you heard in our values, you know, the third value was have fun. And we like to do just whimsical, crazy, off the wall things here at Z Promotions that probably other companies would not do. I'll give you an example. So several years back, we took our clients and their family members out and we decided to paintball. What better way to sit there and build a relationship than to shoot your clients and their kids, right? And team members, and it was awesome, right? But then we also did another year, we held what's called the Z Games, right? So we literally had this park just plastered with all kinds of obstacles. We had an obstacle course. We had a trivia area. We just did all kinds of silly, goofy things. I bought like a 10X shirt and had people go into it. So instead of a three-legged race, we did the shirt race, where two people would be in a shirt and then we'd race. And at the end of the day, they collected coins along the way. And whoever had the most coins ended up winning one of those really cool wrestling belts. So you had like bragging rights for a whole year. So we like to do silly stuff, blow off steam, and have fun, and be able to laugh at yourself. So in terms of results, I think with that, and I won't say it's unexpected, because I think you can expect that because of, you know, the culture we built. But our clients, they eventually just become our friends and part of our own team. And I can say, luckily, and I know I looked at it a couple months ago, I want to say that we probably from, the last 10 years, there's only three clients that we are no longer doing business with. And those are the ones that we chose not to do business with. That's huge. In terms of our numbers and things, the longevity is there. We've been in business for 17 years. The average client has been with us for about 9, which that's huge too. So
that is huge. Yeah. I love that.
One of the fun things that I did with Zulene and her team was going to this, I think it was called a purse palooza.
Yes.
Something like that. It was pretty memorable. It was a purse auction for all these fancy designer purses for charity.
I have heard of that. I've never been to one.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to go to the next one.
Yeah.
For individuals looking to start their own businesses, what advice would you give them based on your own journey and experiences?
Number one, get a mentor. I got mine a lot later in the journey. I wish I would have had one a lot earlier. So talking about the pandemic, this keeps rearing its ugly head, but it was actually a fortunate set of events. A lot of people look at the pandemic and they're like, oh no, that was just hell for us. And it was for us as well, because when the closures happened in March, I've never seen anything like this, not even during the housing crisis, but our revenue plummeted 80% just overnight, went just downhill. And I was like, what in the world are we going to do? Yeah. From that point, I started becoming a bit skilled in an area that I thought I would never be skilled in. And that was grant writing, because I'm like, I need to find some money.
Yes, yes.
But the story is actually going somewhere. So what I did was I took advantage of a lot of the grants that were out there. We were awarded several. I used that money actually in terms of making sure that I was able to secure some educational and development advantages. I was recommended over to a multicultural women's executive leadership and development program through USC's Marshall School of Business. Got accepted. I wouldn't have been able to pay for it otherwise. Thank goodness I was awarded some of these grants, applied the grants to that. And they were able to actually help us in terms of redeveloping a strategic plan and a vision for the business. And that's how we were able to turn things around. And they were the ones actually who also, even though I started developing mentors there, they said, you need a local mentor. And who would you like to be your mentor? And I told them who. And I'm like, she'll never be able to do it. She's such a busy lady, blah, blah, blah. But this is who I dream of. And they looked at me and they were like, oh, you need to ask, what's holding you back? So they held me accountable, which was great. I asked her the next day and I was shocked. She answered me and said, of course, sure, no problem. And I'm like, oh my God, this happened. And she's still my mentor today. We meet every 2 weeks. She helps me with my business. I'm completely vulnerable with her. She knows everything, the inner workings of it. She understands a lot of the challenges, even just internal challenges, maybe things I'm going on with the team. I can bounce ideas off of her. And so that's been great. The other thing is, so make sure you have a mentor, but I also have a mastermind group. So NABO has roundtables. However, from that Women's Leadership, Executive Leadership and Development Program, I had a small group in there. And we just continue to meet every 2 weeks. So we're still meeting outside of COVID, still meeting every 2 weeks. One lady has a business in Detroit. So she's located in Detroit. We have another lady out in Santa Clara, California. The three of us meet every 2 weeks and we hold each other accountable to things as well. So it's really nice to have people that you trust and they hold in confidence to things that you're going through, but nobody else understands what you're going through, your significant other, your best friend. Many times they don't understand because they're not entrepreneurs. And then they're not female entrepreneurs as well. But these folks understand. They get it. They get me. And they're not going to be tired of hearing what I have to say or, oh, here she has another story about work, because they get it. And they're going through it and they can share their lived experiences. So make sure and get a mentor and get a mastermind group.
Those are good tips. I wholeheartedly agree.
Yes. I love the edge group that we have through the chamber, and it has been helpful for me. I love it.
In the realm of promotional products and branding, what are some emerging trends or strategies that you believe could greatly benefit business?
I hate trends, like I said, but when it comes to emerging trends, in terms of promotional products, boy, there are always trends coming out, right? And we are much inspired also by what's happening in retail as well. So that's why you're able to find a lot of the brands that are out in retail within the promotional products industry. So that's one area that I would say that you may want to look at, because that makes it relatable and gives you some credibility if you want to look at brands that are familiar out in retail and maybe incorporating your brand on there. So we know, I'll give you an example, Yeti. Everyone knows that brand, right? That's a retail brand that came into our industry. So putting your brand with a notable brand also, is a great help. let me see, other strategies, just what I gave you before, making sure that you are targeting your demographic, whoever it is that your client is, understanding their pain points. So you have to understand what challenges and they're going through and what solutions will really benefit them. And then making sure to communicate that to your promotional product specialist, whoever that may be, and then building some type of strategies around that on the right marketing products. So that's how I would go about it.
Okay. Zulene, what's the most unusual or creative promotional product you've ever designed or seen?
I can't tell you this. That's a whole other podcast. This is a family podcast.
We need an R rating or something.
Yeah, I need the triple X's on it. We have clients. Let's just say we have some clients out there. Oh, and this is not Aflac. It's actually another business that uses a duck. But we did custom duck tins. So they were in the shape of their duck in a little egg with a little cracked egg. And we did little duck mints in there. So it was really cute. It was awfully cute. If you have a little extra time, a little bit more in the budget, and you can do a little bit of a larger quantity, honestly, the sky's the limit. And if you dream it, we can do it. It's very rare that I will tell someone no. Because if you can fill in, like I said, the budget, the time, and the quantity, we can pretty much do anything your heart desires.
If you had to describe your entrepreneurial journey in three words, what would they be?
Let me see. Wild, impactful, and fulfilling.
I like that.
Yeah, they're all positive.
Yes, very. Those are good words. Can you share a quick anecdote about a particularly memorable or enjoyable moment from your business journey?
Everyone can appreciate this as an entrepreneur. The first time we were able to hire an employee, you know, that just made you feel like we made it. We finally made it because we can actually put somebody on a W-2 and pay someone wages. That's a huge deal. And that was a huge milestone. Instead of just feeling like, I feel like Andrew and I really made it when we had that employee. And then what was really important that came out of that was the fact that we are now impacting not only that person's life, but our first employee was a female and she had a child. And she was a single mom, and we were impacting her family, her kids, and understanding that and taking that responsibility on. And that was actually what kept fueling us, because we're like, it's not just about us, right, and our families. This is now impacting other people, which then makes an impact on the community at large as well.
Yeah. I love that.
All right, Zulene, after exploring your incredible journey and tapping into your wealth of insights, let's add a fun twist with a round of rapid-fire questions. We will toss some quick queries in your direction, and we are eager to hear your spontaneous answers. Are you all set for this?
No, but let's go.
Here we go. What is the book that you've most given as a gift, or the book that has made the biggest impact on you?
The one that I really like is on the EOS. So Traction is a big one, if you guys have heard about that one. So anybody who is an entrepreneur may want to pick up that book.
It's a good one. What purchase of $100 or less has most positively impacted your life?
I won't say it's the most positively impacted, but most recently positive impact on my life, because I love me a bargain. And it's my little fuzzy slippers here. To give you an example, I left early this morning. I had to get down to the Franklin County Commissioner's office. Then I had to go over to Hollywood Casino for a meeting. And then I had another meeting downtown. And then I had to go to City Hall, all in heels, because you have to dress up. It is such a relief to be able to come back and put the fuzzy slippers on and give your feet that are screaming by this time a rest. Yes.
Oh my gosh. I love it.
And they were under $10.
Oh yes.
That's perfect. What's an unusual habit or an absurd thing that you love?
You know what I love, and I'm so ashamed to share this, but I will be vulnerable with you. I love reality TV. the trashier the better. And it is completely absurd. But the funny thing is the chance for my brain to start tuning down. Do you know what I mean? Because it's always go, go. And with that, I just don't really have to think.
Man, 100%.
Yes.
I understand that.
I do too. I thought you were going to say, though, that you love ordering multiple dishes out to eat and then just eating little bits of it and taking the rest. So,
you know what? I did that today too at Hollywood Casino. They treated us to lunch. And I always tell everyone, it's like, I have no shame in my game. I'm Korean. We eat. That's how we eat. And if you don't like it, but my team members have learned and now they all know if we're going out to eat, it's going to be family style.
I love it. What is your proudest accomplishment?
Let me go on the personal route. We didn't talk a lot personally, but my son, he's been through a lot of challenges in his life. And let me tell you, he's gotten himself into quite a few pickles, but he's come through it pretty well now. He's on the other side of it and doing much better. So, you know, there's nothing more that you can be proud of than your kids, I think, if you have those.
Yeah, I love that. So do you have or what is your current passion project?
Let's see, current passion project. You know what? It's still summer. And one of the things that I look forward to when spring comes around, and summer is my favorite season, is just gardening. And people don't think of that when they see me. They're like, you garden? And I'm like, I didn't several years back. I had the thumb of death. I would kill everything. But it is my time for meditation. It starts out my day really well because I go out every morning and it's just like my quiet time to start getting things ready. So yes, I really actually enjoy it.
What are you growing?
Oh, what am I not growing? I have things like peonies growing. I have a humongous hibiscus bush, which is great. We have a beautiful butterfly bush. Oh, I just love my Japanese maple. He's just the cutest. He's a he. So I talk to my flowers. I love all my Asian lilies on the side. I just love them all. And then I have a vegetable garden. So this year I grew sweet peppers, serrano peppers, because I love spicy stuff, asparagus, cucumbers, zucchini. And this year tomatoes were wild. They were just coming out of my ear. So amazing on the tomatoes, Swiss chard, and carrots are all my main ones. So if you need anything, let me know.
What is one skill you would like to master?
If I want to do something, I usually figure out a way and get it done. Or I find an expert and have him teach me. I'm pretty good at language because my first language isn't English. But I'd like to master two other languages. So I would love to, and we've actually started this for our team, is learning conversational Spanish. Because obviously that segment of our population is growing and I'm like, we should really start getting that. So I would love to eventually master that. I'm not great at it right now. A little easier for me to catch on because I started out with a Latin language because I learned French, but I'd love to learn Spanish. And then I would love to learn either Mandarin or Farsi because those are also growing as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely language mastery.
Zulene, do you believe in the power of manifestation?
Heck yeah, man. Yeah, I've never told myself no. I've never told myself I can't do anything. And everything starts in your mind on whether you're going to be able to accomplish a goal or not. So, you know, in order to manifest it, you have to tell yourself, first of all, that you're able to do it, that you're going to make it happen, and then put that out into the world and make sure and share that with other people because that holds you accountable. And then guess what? It does end up happening.
What was your very first job?
Oh, I love my first job. It was the best job in the whole world. So I worked for a vet. He had a pet store actually in our local mall called Pet Menagerie. And Dr. Acock was the best. And working in that pet store, it wasn't just working in a pet store. It was different because a vet owned it. So he was very good about the quality of animals that came in. If they were dogs, we made sure to get to know the kennels. We literally did site visits and things like that. So there was no puppy mill situation. We knew everybody had great relationships with them. Everybody on staff learned how to take care of the animals. So let me tell you, I knew how to vaccinate them, to worm them, how to sit there and take care of them in certain situations. So he taught us a lot of that. And that got me to thinking that maybe I wanted to be a vet. because he was really grooming us to be like his little vet techs out in the store. It was really hilarious. We could do just about anything. So yeah, that was my first job and I loved it. But that's when I knew I had a knack for, I came a little earlier on, but I really knew I had a knack for marketing and sales because I was 16. Everyone else who was there was older than I was. And we would get a commission, right, on everything that we sold. It was 1%. And don't you know, the little 16-year-old was always the highest revenue generator every single month.
I love it.
Pumping it out. I loved it. I loved everything about working at that store. It was amazing.
Oh, I love that story. Yeah. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Everybody usually has this grand vision. I'm on that journey of where I want to be. I just want to be bigger and better. The reason I want to be bigger and better is because I want to bring more people on. The reason I want to bring more people on is because I want to give more opportunities to others to impact them so that they can make their dreams come true. It's not all about me because I'm already receiving a lot of successes, but I want to make impacts on other folks. And I just want to make sure that they have the ability to really live comfortably and do what they want to do as well.
That's nice. Awesome.
Do you have a pump up song?
You know what? I have actually a playlist and a lot of people have personal mantras or mottos. And so again, I'm not going to sing the song, but I love the rap song. All I Do Is Win. I tell myself all the time. And it's actually my mantra because I have it typed up that comes up on my screen. And that goes back to the power of manifestation because all I do is win. You can't tell me you're going to knock me down. I'm going to sit there.
That's a great one.
I love it. Since we're called Cosmos and Commerce, we'd like to know, what is your drink of choice?
Michelle knows me well enough. Everybody knows I do not drink the libation.
But I have been
told on more than one occasion I'm a fabulous bartender. So apparently I can make a really mean drink. I just don't drink them. But my own personal drink of choice. So if I'm outside on the patio, I love to have a lemonade. But if I'm inside, I'm so weird, even on warm days, because today I actually had one. I love a good hot chocolate.
Nice.
It gets cold inside with the air conditioning, and I have had hot chocolate in the summertime too.
There's something comforting about it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I have a hot chocolate mix that I put into my coffee. So it's like a coffee hot chocolate.
Like a cafe mocha.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Zulene, would you rather have the ability to instantly come up with the perfect promotional product idea for any client or have the power to organize and host the most memorable business networking event ever?
If I'm hosting the most memorable business networking event ever, the power to come up with a perfect promotional product idea will be part of that. So I like the networking just because that's making sure that you're making connections. So it's creating connections, building relationships, and then organically great ideas come from that. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Zulene. This has been a pleasure interviewing you.
I love the fact that you have this podcast. It's so awesome.
Where can people find you?
Oh, you should say, where can't they find me, right? Because believe me, I think you'll probably bump into me any number of places. But of course, if you'd like to sit there and work with Z Promotions, feel free to go on our website, zp-a.com.
Zulene's story is a testament to what's possible when you combine vision, dedication, and a touch of creativity. I encourage you to take these valuable insights and apply them to your own business endeavors. To stay connected and access more enriching content, be sure to visit us at cosmosandcommerce.com. Thank you for being a part of this enlightening conversation. And until we meet again, keep dreaming, creating, and savoring the flavors of both cosmos and commerce.